Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chelsea Supplement, your Sunday supplement rip-off, I guess is the best way it's going to be, because that's basically what it is, where we delve into all the stories that you will have heard in 5 in 5 over the course of the week and give you a bit of detail with a fantastic journalist. Today, we are joined by Mr. Simon Phillips. Yay! A round of applause, because I'm the only one here. It's not a live audience, unfortunately. Sorry. How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, that's great. I love that intro. Thanks for that, Lou. It's always good to chat to you and get bigged up by that like that. Love it.
Oh, mate, listen. You're a friend of the pod. You're a nice bloke. That's all that matters to me. And we love having you on and having a chat. And obviously, you've done the final score a few times. We're always grateful when you come on. And we appreciate you giving your time as we're recording on a Saturday night. So I do appreciate you doing that. But we'll get straight into it, obviously. And we'll talk about the big stories. Obviously, for people that are new around here that haven't heard the Chelsea Supplement, it's a case of, like we said, you get all the stories during the week in 5 minutes. Every single day, Monday to Friday, and then on the Sunday, the five biggest ones we take and we chat about. So we'll jump straight in, and obviously we're going to save the juicy stuff until the end, because I'm sure everyone's going to be thinking, let's talk about this, it's going to be the first thing. But no, we're not going to do that. We're going to jump in and talk about Oscar Bob, and I've put ... other winger targets, because there seems to be a few wingers, Si.
Yeah, one or two. As I said, Chelsea are really just looking at options still, and they haven't really moved past that as I speak. Obviously, the main ones really, Nico Williams is the main target they would love to get, but it's the same story, and we're going to talk about him later on. Obviously, Victor Osimhen, it's the same story there with Williams. It's all about the overall financial package just being too much. It's not just his fee. It's not just, I mean, because his fee isn't that bad. I think it's 58 million or something like that, release clause. But it's everything else on top of it. And Chelsea just don't, as you know, Chelsea don't want to pay big wages anymore. It's not just the wages, it's the add-ons, it's the bonuses, it's the agent fees, which is probably the biggest one, actually, that people don't really take into consideration. On the Michael Olise deal, I heard that the agent fees were just astronomical. And in the end, that's one of the biggest reasons why Chelsea pulled from that. So what people don't realise is that it's everything involved in the deal. And with Nico Williams, that's a big issue. The other issue is he doesn't really want to go to the Premier League at the moment. He would sooner go to Barcelona. That one's obviously stalled at the moment. So I think he'll probably end up staying where he is anyway. But he's a dream. He's a dream target for a winger. I don't see it happening. So Chelsea are obviously looking at other names. You mentioned Oscar Bob there. Is very much a target that Chelsea have looked at, similar to Cole Palmer. You know, he's a Joe Shields kind of guy. He knows him well. He's put him to the board. The board said they'd see what they can do. I believe they have approached Man City about him, but at the moment, City aren't keen to sell. Bob himself is not overly keen to move away from City. He wants to make it there. So he hasn't given Chelsea any real indication that he would push for a move. So that's at a standstill. Other names we've got is Désiré Doué as well. Chelsea have been trying to get him, but the same problem with other targets. He's got a lot of big clubs after him. He's very keen to wait and just pick the right move. Chelsea are not high on his priority list. So he's another one that, you know, has kind of got a little consideration by his name, and the other main one again, but is not an unrealistic. It is an unrealistic target is Mattis Tell from Bayern Munich. He's one that they're looked at because they want someone who can play a flexible role, either on the left or on the right or even up top. He's another one that they've looked at, but again, Bayern don't want to sell him. He doesn't want to leave, and that is the same sort of issues that Chelsea are getting with all their winger targets at the moment. And as I said at the start, it's Chelsea are very much just still going through the shortlist. They're approaching agents, they're going to clubs, seeing if anything can be done, and looking at opportunities really for wingers. But there's nothing. I mean, I'd love to come here and say that we're advancing with a winger, but we're not. And at the moment, you know, either they're working on something behind the scenes, like they did with Dewsbury Hall. That sort of came from nowhere. And then goalkeeper as well, Philip Jorgensen, came from nowhere. So there is a chance that Chelsea are doing that, and none of us know about it because, you know, they do, if they really want to, they can keep it on the down low. So unless something like that is happening, all I know right now is that there's nothing close for any new winger, and nothing advanced, and all the winger targets they want just seem unrealistic for whatever the reason is at the moment.
With that being said, I got very excited earlier on in the week because there was a certain player that was apparently linked with a move to Chelsea. And you've known me for a long time. You know I've been an advocate of him for years. As the founding member of the Fred Church fan club, is there any movement of that from Juventus?
Yeah, so what I heard on Chiesa was that his agent is trying to find him a club. They want to go to the Premier League, and they've reached out to clubs who they know are looking for attackers. They know, you know, specifically wingers, and they've reached out to clubs. Chelsea was one of the clubs that they reached out to, and another reason they went back to Chelsea was because when Thomas Tuchel was in charge, Tuchel put Chiesa's name to the board and said that I want this is one of the guys that I'd love to bring in, and Chelsea did look at it then as well. Too expensive at that time, but now, year left on his contract, much cheaper. He's trying to leave. Juventus are ready to sell him, and there's an opportunity there. But I think the last information I had on that was that Chelsea were thinking about whether they were going to make a move, but that was 3 days ago. So I suspect at the moment they haven't decided that they're going to, but that is still an open situation that, you know, it could come to light. But the main sticking point there is that his injury history, and Chelsea have looked at that and they're not too keen to bring him, you know, bring him in because of that. But yeah, agent offer him around. Chelsea, one of the clubs. Tottenham are another one, and yeah, his people are keen to get him to the Premier League, but I'm bursting your bubble here, but I don't think it will be Chelsea.
Great. There goes that dream. Just sat there. I read that from you the other day and I got so excited. Spoke to the score. I was like, yeah, Si's been talking about that. I was going, oh my God, I'm so excited. Like, it's literally just unbelievable if we'd signed him. But like you said, his injury record is going to be a bit of a sticking point. But I mean, I'm speaking purely emotively here. I would look past that. But you know, having said that, Chelsea's injury record over the past few years has not been the best. Of that list, obviously, I know you said there's no one that's really close. For you, do any of those feel realistic to you? Do you think that's someone that we'd look at and they'd find a gap and go, yeah, that's definitely someone that we could maybe see more likely to become Chelsea? Or do you think, to be honest, like this is just Chelsea kind of, you know, sticking their finger in the air and seeing which way it's going?
Yeah, there's none on that list that I think that we can get. I genuinely don't think that any of those will come. I think the only one that, I mean, in terms of the most realistic option, and that's purely because Chelsea have done a lot more on him, at least in terms of they went to the agent, they went to the club, and they found out all the conditions of the deal, right after the Elise deal broke down, is Nico Williams. But as I said, he's not even that keen to come to the Premier League. He'd rather stay in Spain. So for that reason, I still can't see it happening. But out of all of the names that I mentioned, he's the one that Chelsea have done the most work on in terms of, you know, just finding information and what it's going to take to get him.
It's intriguing because he's a really, well, in the Euros, he showed his quality. But like you said, if he doesn't want to be in England, then there's no point in going for it because that's only going to go one way. But obviously, guys, if you do want to see more on that, make sure you head across to Simon's site because obviously he does post a lot of news. And The Score is obviously a writer over there. But we'll move swiftly on now to the next story, and it is Maximilian Beer. Now, obviously, there's been a lot of movement on him this week. You know, Chelsea apparently looking at submitting a bid or have submitted a bid in this case now. And obviously, a great young German striker. Obviously, Chelsea are looking at strikers. What can you tell us about him?
I don't know anything. I haven't heard anything at all about this, which is strange. You know, I always say on my site, I always say that we don't get all the information. Absolutely not even close to it. So maybe, you know, maybe it is true. Maybe we just haven't heard about that yet. But I hadn't heard. I've asked about it as well after that the report came out. I think it was from Sky Germany in the week that we actually made an offer. and I put the word out, and none of the people that I speak to have heard that we've made an offer or that we're even close. Or I think, you know, there's definitely interest there. Like Chelsea, like I said earlier on the wingers, Chelsea have been looking at so many different options for striker and for winger. So, you know, there probably is some interest there. He might have been someone that they've looked at, but in terms of solid information coming from our sources, I've not heard anything at all about Beer.
That's interesting. It did kind of come out of nowhere again, like we were saying earlier. When that was reported, it was kind of like, okay, and then it's kind of slowed down at the same time as it has sped up in some places. But it does feel a bit like the places where it has sped up have been a little less reputable. So it'd be interesting to see how that goes. You mentioned other striker targets. Is there anybody that, Chelsea are looking at where you think there could be some movement? Other than the latter, which we're gonna touch on.
Yeah, so I don't know if we're planning to talk about Conor Gallagher, but he's related to this. Obviously, the deal, if the deal does go through, Chelsea have agreed a fee with Atletico for Conor Gallagher. If that goes through, then I believe we could see something there spark up with Samu Omrodian from Atletico. Obviously, he was on loan last season, and there's been a lot of noise about that, and there's definite interest. I spoke to actually people from Chelsea on this one, and they, you know, they were bigging him up to me and saying that he's a player that they really rate. The scouts are raving about him. They've been watching him closely, and I can really see that sparking up because Chelsea already had offers rejected for him a few weeks ago. His price is too expensive, but Chelsea, I believe, the fee that they've agreed for Gallagher is low, and it's lower than what they put on him last summer, and even at the start of this summer. So that, you know, that to me spells out that we might still see something done with Omerodion. If, you know, they're doing Atletico a favour with Gallagher, his fee, then maybe Atletico are going to do Chelsea a favour with Omerodion. So I can see that one sparking up. But there is a but, and it leads into the next topic of conversation that I'll let you set up.
Oh, I love I love a good segue. Massive fan of that side. Well, let's talk about that next striker then. So Samuel Omrodian is an interesting player to say the least. I've seen some interesting stats about him, but that's it. I'm not going to sit here and say I watch La Liga every week, and I'm not going to take a compilation as gospel. But one player who does have a proven track record, who fired a certain team to a Scudetto a couple of years ago, is Victor Osimhen. So let's dive into that, shall we? Because there are so many moving parts to this one, isn't there,
Yeah,
Si?
there's a lot going on with it, and I say a lot going on with it. Really, in terms of Chelsea and Napoli, they're just talking at the moment, and that's all it is. But there's lots of different parts of this whole situation. There's Lukaku, who Antonio Conte wants, and he wants to go there, so that all needs to fit in. And then Chelsea have basically this week, 4 days ago now, mentioned Osimhen, and they've been watching the Osimhen situation all year, really, and deciding whether they want to go for him. They're never going to pay his release clause. They still won't now, so that's not happening. But they've sensed an opportunity. They've spoken to Osimhen's agents. They haven't spoken to Osimhen's agents yet because they went to Napoli. They said to De Laurentiis that can something be done here, and De Laurentiis has said maybe, and they've spoken about it. But he's told Chelsea not to agree anything yet with Osimhen, because he doesn't want to put any pressure on that side of it from their people on the deal, because he wants to make sure that he gets the very best deal if it's going to be done. So it's definitely in talks. There's definitely things happening. Napoli are very much now keen to sell Osimhen, so the pressure is on them to get rid of him because Conte wants Lukaku. He cannot have Lukaku until Osimhen is gone, and they want to get, you know, as much for him as they can. I think they're realizing now they're not going to get his release clause. So the only way they can do this now is some kind of swap deal. It won't be a direct swap deal because clubs don't do that anymore. It'll be one goes to Chelsea and the other one goes to Napoli is a separate deal, but it's favour for a favour. So, you know, Lukaku is pushing, Conte is pushing through Lukaku. Chelsea would love to sign Osimhen, but as I said earlier, and we go back to the Nico Williams situation, Chelsea will only do it if the financials are not too extortionate. They know his wages, they're okay with that. They will try and do that with incentives and a lower base fee. You know, they know that that is going to be a situation that they've got to deal with. But is everything else, like I said earlier, signing on fee, which is a big one, agent fees, and if all of that falls into place and Chelsea feel they can do it, then they will, if the fee is right with Napoli. So there's a long way to go with this one. The only other thing that I can add to it is the other day I heard that Conte is also quite keen on Cassidy from Chelsea, and Chelsea are willing to sell him this summer, so he could get thrown into it as well. So that's another, I guess, trick Chelsea have up their sleeve. They could use Cassidy as well. So this one, you know, I was ruling it out maybe at the start of last week, but as it's gone on and the more I've heard about it, I do think something could be done on this one. I do. But yeah, we'll see. It's all on the talks, and they are at early stages.
I remember early on in the year when you and I were talking about striker targets, and obviously this was before Elise was going to Bayern, and I think you and I, when we were chatting, were very Chelsea fan about the situation. We're going, yeah, he's definitely going to come to Chelsea, no worries at all. Obviously, you're saying there's something can be done here with Victor Osimhen, and I think there's a moving part to that, which I do want to come back to, because it does tie in well with Conor Gallagher. But another name on the list, obviously, was Ivan Toney when you and I were chatting. And when we were talking, we were looking at, obviously, you know, there was a bit of a struggle maybe between, you know, the board members, and there was a struggle between the sporting directors as well over Osimhen or Ivan Toney. Is Ivan Toney completely out of the question now, and it's kind of, right, all eyes are now on Victor Osimhen? Or is it a case of, well, Osimhen would be the priority? Like you said, it's a favour for a favour. There's a lot more moving parts, but it's something that can be done. Or is it going to be a case of, well, if that doesn't work, this is an option here which we can look at?
Yeah, I think Osimhen has been the dream target all along for Chelsea's owners. So probably more Egbali than Todd Boehly, because Todd Boehly's really taken a back seat with all of that at the moment. So Egbali, you know, would love to bring Osimhen, and the sporting directors would love to bring him. But Toney has always been liked by a few people on the Chelsea board who are perhaps not as high in terms of their decision making, and, you know, they get a say, but it's not, you know, it's not as much as a, you know, the sporting directors or Egbali, and those are the ones that make decisions. And Toney has not been universally wanted at Chelsea. But the fact that some people do like him, and they have, they kept in contact with his agent for a long time now, just to keep it open. So it is still open, but I do believe, actually, I heard a couple of days ago, I haven't really reported it or anything like that, because it's kind of, you know, it's kind of dead anyway, that one, to me. I think Toney might see out his contract anyway, but I did hear the other day that he's actually not that keen on going to Chelsea right now, and he's got other preferences, and Chelsea would probably be his fourth or fifth choice. So I think that I think that's probably played a part as well.
I mean, this does tie back into what we were discussing with Cassidy, right? So Cesare Cassidy was Italy under 20, really highly sought after, really highly thought of in Italy, and, you know, in certain parts of Europe, hence why Chelsea bought him. And obviously, that in that window when he arrived, it was him, Carney Chukwuemeka, and there were some senior figures that were brought in as well. So it seemed like a really good balance. And obviously, Chelsea's tact has completely changed in that period. But Cesare Cassidy was someone who Chelsea spent a lot of money on, who is now just basically being discarded if this deal goes through. Realistically, Chelsea might, well, they probably will make a profit, but it won't be as much. How does this strategy really benefit Chelsea? Because is there anything you hear or you look at when you go, when you speak to people at the club, they can turn around to you and go, this is the strategy, this is why we're doing it? Or is it very much kind of a case of, we like him, we like him, we like him, he's a good young player, we could flip in a few years' time, maybe we're just going to take it and run? What it doesn't make any sense. Can you shed any light on that situation?
Yeah, so I had some new information on this the other day, actually, which actually did make some sense to me for the first time, actually, for a long time. It did make some sense. Chelsea, obviously, everyone knows They are being investigated for under the Roman era. There was some things happened. I don't know the ins and outs. I've not really looked into it, but it was transfer related. So basically, the expectation is, or there's a belief within Chelsea that they could. I'm not, people run with my words, and it really annoys me. I'm not saying Chelsea are going to get transfer banned. I'm not saying that they're going to get a points deduction, but there's a chance they could get both, and the board are taking that into consideration. So that's one of the reasons. There's many reasons. That's one of the reasons that they have been buying a lot of younger players. They feel that they want to be covered in terms of, if they do get a transfer ban, they don't know how long it's going to be for, if at all. So they want to make sure they've got cover, and they want to make sure they've got these players there that they can call on, your Estevaos and players like that. So that's one of the reasons, but it's not the only reason. Another main reason is that in terms of PSR, the club feel that they're in a sticky situation for this financial year. So they've got to make sales, but the biggest thing is the wages and the wage bracket. So that's why they've got this new structure with the wages, lower base fees, and it's all around that. And that's why they look at younger players, because they don't demand high wages, they don't demand high fees. They're very much, coming in before they get big. It's risky, but they're doing that to really try and fall in line with PSR for the next and end of next summer. And that's why, they're getting a lot of these players rather than your Ivan Tonys, who will be coming in on, they'll want big wages and players like that. I know we're talking about Osimhen a minute earlier, and he's going to have high wages as well, but overall, their strategy is looking at players who are on lower wages because of PSR. Now, I'm not saying I agree with any of that, because I don't. I've voiced my opinion a lot on that, but having spoken to people within the club, giving them a chance to explain a few things, those are two reasons that I can kind of understand, not necessarily agree with, but can kind of understand where they're coming from.
So with that then, because that does actually make a lot more sense, and I'm not going to sit here and say they should come out and say it already, because I mean I think everybody thinks that now, and I think fans would like a lot more clarification on why certain things happen, and I think that would shed a lot of light on it, and people would maybe look at it more favourably. But with that being said, like you said, Osimhen, Ivan Toney obviously is with fifth choice. It's irrelevant now, but sort of like those big name signings, which are dream signings for the club. I'm guessing the way they'd be looking at them is almost like the franchise player, to put it in US terms, right? So is that what they look at Osimhen as? It kind of be a case of, well, we've got Raheem Sterling who's on similar wages. It could be Raheem and Victor that would be the two players which would be franchise signings, right? I hate that term. It makes me feel sick.
Yeah, there's leeway for stuff like that. It doesn't mean to say Chelsea are never going to sign players on bigger wages again, because they are, but it's weighing everything up on the whole. If they feel they need a striker, and and they don't go for down the Omerodion route, who's a younger, unproven player, which they still might. But if they don't go down that route, and they decide that, hey, listen, we need to really elevate in this position, we're gonna have to just spend out on Osimhen, then they will. There's no strict rules to it, but they're just really being a lot more careful overall with the finances, because PSR is really squeezing on the club, and they're really aware of it for this financial year. So yeah, I don't, I think you're right. Franchise player, marquee player, whatever, I think we're going to see a lot less of them, but they could still happen.
I'm intrigued to see how this all plays out now, because with all the PSR situation, obviously we sold Ian Mattson to Aston Villa. We signed one of their youngsters for an inflated fee. We've seen Newcastle and Nottingham Forest do the same thing. So I studied football business for my degree. I have a degree in this, and I'm confused. It just makes no sense to me, a lot of this situation. But well, I'm just interested to see how it plays out. But speaking of spending and PSR and pure profit, well, I know we didn't say pure profit, but we may as well say it now. Conor Gallagher, we obviously did a pod last night,
I
a
listened,
space with The Score, which you tuned into, I believe, so you'll have heard us discussing it. Appreciate you doing that, mate. Let's just break that down, because it went from sort of quietly sort of just maybe trundling through. It's just business. It's kind of things we've been expecting to happen over the past, you know, 6 months to a year, to turning into a great episode of EastEnders on Friday. In no uncertain terms, just let's discuss this, because obviously you were quite vocal on Friday in terms of some of the reports that were coming up that you weren't so sure about. What do you think about this whole situation, and what have you heard that maybe could differ from what everyone else may be reading?
I think the biggest thing with Connor is, okay, so I'll go through what I don't like to start with. I absolutely hate it when the club put out briefs and it's a clear brief. You know, you see it, you're sat there, you're on social media, and one reporter comes up with it, next reporter, literally within seconds, and there's 10 reports basically saying exactly the same thing, different wording. So it's clearly come directly from the club. And I don't like how they're painting it out to be, you know, oh, we've offered Connor this, that and the other, and he won't accept it, so we've got to sell him, you know, it's not our fault. And I hate that. They did it with Mason Mount. People lapped that up. And, you know, I'm not going to get into that again because I've spoken enough about that, but there's another side to that story. And but Chelsea made sure that their side was the most spoken about, and, you know, Mason got hammered for it. And yeah, so the same thing. I see the same thing happening with Connor now. You know, they're trying to shift the blame. They're trying to cover themselves. We all know that Conor Gallagher is 99% gone, I'd say. Maybe a very slim 1% chance that he stays. If the fan base continue to be really vocal about it, they might then be like, okay, look, you know, we can't do this. That we're just going to get too much grief for it. Let's, you know, let's sort something out. But Conor is, what I know, is Conor's camp, and Conor himself, they're annoyed, they're fuming. They're, same with Chalobah. They're fuming with how it's all played out and what the situation is, and they just don't feel fairly treated. They both want to stay at the club. They love Chelsea. You know, they've come through the ranks. They want to stay here. They want to go on, and be legends of the club. And Connor has been a mainstay, you know, all through the last couple of seasons. He's been one of the better performers, I think, from last season. And he feels he deserves more. Chelsea have spoken to him about a new contract. They haven't, as far as I'm aware, there's not been anything officially offered. It's kind of been back and forth. Connor said, look, I want a good contract. I want a long contract. I want to be rewarded for what I feel I've done. And he's not asking for stupid money at all, not even close. But he feels he wants to be given what he's earned, which is fair enough. And he wants to be valued. And, you know, a 2 year or 2 year plus one contract is a slap in the face, really, for someone like Connor, who has, you know, dragged us through games last season. And I'll say all of this, but I'll also say that I'm not even one of the people who think that Connor should stay. I'd love it if he stayed. I think he's I think he'd be a really good player to have in the squad. I love everything about him. I love what he does. I love all the positives. I could speak about him all day, but I'm not upset if he goes. And you know, I'm saying all of this with that because people think, oh, you know, they just love Cobham. You know, they love English players and this, that and the other. And I'm saying all of this as a guy who is okay with Connor going. I can understand, you know, why we've got to sell him because, as you said earlier, pure profit. I just don't like how the club have gone about it and how they're dealing with it and how they're trying to push the blame onto Connor. Connor doesn't want to leave. That's bottom line. Club have been trying to sell him for, you know, since last summer. That's obvious. We've seen it. We've all seen it. And we're not stupid. And the fan base are not stupid. They know when there's PR briefs out there. And that's what annoys me the most about all of this, that, you know, they think that we're stupid and that we'll lap it up. A lot of people will, by the way. But yeah, I think most people, you know, can read between the lines and see straight through it. But there's the whole situation, Gallagher situation, Chalobah situation. It should have been avoided. It should have been handled differently. And it hasn't. And that's why people are wound up.
Well, no, that's exactly how I feel about it. I mean, look, if you'd said to me a year ago, and in fact, we said it in pods, you know, if the right offer came for Gallagher, I wouldn't say no. But like you said, you know, hindsight is 2020, and this season, or season just gone, sorry, should I say, Conor Gallagher, like you said, you know, he's one of our better performers, statistically second best in a lot of places. So, and overall, you know, you take Cole Palmer out of that team, he's the best player in the team last season. And I understand what people are saying about, you know, he's a different sort of player to what Maresca might want. But you speak to anybody at Chelsea and they'll sit there and they'll say, you know, he's a great player to have about in terms of just the pure coaching, pure football. Yeah. They go, great player to have about, elevates everyone, makes everyone better. And you know, like I said yesterday when we did the space, you know, he is the James Milner for Chelsea. And I think it's important to have players like that about. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out. I think it's just, like you said, the 2+1 is a slap in the face. Yeah. You know, the reports I was reading, you know, he was saying he wants to be brought up in line with players in the squad because he is one of the club's lowest earners currently. Yeah. That would, I guess, fall in with contract length as well. But this is obviously something which the club aren't too keen on doing. Should Gallagher go, as he would be pure profit, and like you said, 99% likely. You know, if he does go, best of luck to him. I think he's been a fantastic player for Chelsea, and yeah, I agree with you. I think the way him and Trev have been treated is awful. It's not great at all, and it really does put a slap in the face of the academy, and kind of may shed a little bit of light on why Neil Barth left the club this summer. Is there anybody out there that Chelsea are looking at to replace him, or is it very much a case of Conor would go, okay, we've got the centre mids, we've got the squad, we don't need anybody else?
Yeah, I think his replacement already arrived, didn't he, a few weeks ago.
In Drisby Hall.
Yeah, I think that they did that in mind of knowing that they want to get rid of Conor. I can't see anyone coming in anyway because we're so stacked in that area. You know, we've got players who are going to be warming the bench most of the season. I know we have the extra competitions. We've got the Club World Cup as well. So there's going to be plenty more games, and I think, you know, we're going to see players playing in the Conference League who don't start in the Premier League. So there is that, but we've got so many midfielders. You know, we've got Chuck Kwameka, you've got Caicedo, we've got Enzo Fernandez, we've got Lavia, and that's not even mentioning the fact that Nkunku has been playing as an eight. Cole Palmer has been rumoured to apparently going to be playing more central. So in Maresca's system, he could be playing as an eight. So we're stacked in those positions already. Ugochukwu was still there. He's supposed to be going on loan, but that's not happened yet. And at the moment, I was doing starting lineups last week on the website, and I didn't even have Enzo Fernandez starting. So, you know, if they go and bring another midfielder in as well, then it's just too much. And I didn't have Enzo starting. I didn't have Dewsbury Hall starting either. So I had Nkunku as the eight. I had Caicedo as the other eight and Lavia as the DM. So I just don't, yeah, it's not, I don't think they're going to replace Gallagher if he is sold.
It's just hearing that is ridiculous.
It is, isn't it? It's mad. Our squad is it's going to be massive. And it's fine saying that we've got competition to play, but we've got, how do you keep all of those players happy? It's just impossible to do it. And the only areas that we're short in is right wing and striker as well. Well, all depending on what happens to Mark Gyew. So the rest of them is going to be stacked, and we're going to have players sat on the bench every week, and they're going to be getting more and more annoyed. It's impossible to keep a large group like that happy.
It's the keeping them fit as well, because if you don't play regular minutes and you get chucked in at the deep end, you're going to get an injury. So Chelsea's injury concerns may rear their ugly heads once again. Christ. Well, sorry, it has been a busy week. I was sat there Monday, Tuesday. I was like, oh, this seems to be quite busy. And it went all quiet Wednesday, Thursday. I was like, okay, it's a bit crap. That Thursday, I was literally vamping. And then obviously Friday, it just exploded. Yeah. So it's been great having you on, mate. Do you have anything else you can shed light on? Are there any other positions that Chelsea are looking at and maybe wanting to fill? Obviously, Ben Chilwell potentially could be making an exit as well. I didn't put that in because it's kind of been quite quiet this week. But, you know, I'm guessing, is there any looking at left backs, or is there, you know, maybe look at centre back? I don't know. Probably that's, you know, not a toddler from Brazil. Can we try and avoid those, please?
Yeah, I think something can happen with Chilwell, definitely. I don't think Kukure is going to go anymore, but I think Chilwell is... I think if they had a good offer for him, they would let him go. And then if he did go, I think they would probably have to buy a replacement, but obviously there's nothing there at the moment with names. However, The only other player that I know that we have been in talks with his club for, it's not gone anywhere yet, but they've been asking for what price he would be, is Murillo from Nottingham Forest, the left centre back. He's a player that Chelsea have had talks with and they could move in on. They really like him. He's expensive though. I think they got quoted 55 million for him, which would be stupid amounts of money. But Chelsea have players like Badiashile, who I was told at the start of the summer, again, they would listen to offers for him if anything came up. So there's a situation at the back that could, it could rumble up towards the end of the window. It depends if Chelsea get any approaches for any of the current players. And obviously, Chalobah's still here. There's nothing advanced for him to go yet. It's just playing. He played for the under-21s again today. So, yeah, he's got to go, but nothing's moved on that. And then, we're stacked again in centre back. So, but yeah, Murillo is definitely another player to watch because Chelsea have approached him already earlier in the window.
Interesting. I like him a lot. I heard some great things about him when I spoke to some Nottingham Forest fans. I think because it's not just us that are interested in this. I think Liverpool were looking at him as well. And I think when there was rumours of Real Madrid as well were like having a little sniff. But obviously that's now kind of been tempered since Carlo Ancelotti's come out and said, yeah, we're not buying anybody. We're happy. Imagine being happy with your squad and be like, yeah, it's all right. We've only got Jude Bellingham. Like, it's like, okay, cool, sound. Yeah, your midfield's not stacked, is it either? Christ.
Yeah.
Real Madrid, eh?
Dream.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? We might be set in a few years' time when Kieran and Drewsby Hall's just tearing it up for us, as just as good as Jude Bellingham. Who am I kidding? That's not going to happen. Anyway, mate, it's been great having you. Really appreciate you giving me your time.
Pleasure.
Guys, make sure you go and follow Simon on socials as well. Mate, tell everyone about the site as well. I think it's important that for people that don't know about it, that they hear what you do.
Yes, Si Phillips Talks Chelsea on Substack. Search for it on there. Obviously, I put basically everything out on there. I do all of my opinions. I do five articles a day, opinion based, and I put all my sourced info on there as well. So you'll get everything, all the info. You'll get my opinion on the info and everything else as well. What I've spoken about today. I don't really put much on socials anymore. Most of it goes there because obviously it is a subscriber paying service, so I feel like I have to put most of my stuff there. But please, yeah, do join us if you can afford the very small monthly fee, which I think is about £5. It's in US dollars.
5 quid? Yeah, no, that's fine. I can do that. That's not a problem.
Can
I
you
think I
even
already
get a
do. I'm
pint
sure.
for £5 anymore? I don't think you can you?
Yes, there is one place in London I know I can get a
Right.
semi-decent pint for under a
Good.
fiver. One. But that is also part of the reason why I may be moving back to my hometown for
Right.
this year. Just because living in London, yeah, it's not worth the money,
No, no,
mate.
no, no, no.
It's not worth it. Just get the
Anyway.
train, guys. Just get the train and thumb it back if you need to, if you miss the last one home. But yeah, mate, thank you very much for coming. Really
No problem.
appreciate your time. Guys, this has been the Chelsea Supplement. Make sure you tune in on Monday, which is obviously tomorrow, despite the fact I'm recording on Saturday with Simon here, to get your five transfer stories in 5 minutes, Monday to Friday. And we'll be joined next Sunday by another fantastic journalist. But guys, head across to Si. Make sure you follow the Chelsea Echo. Give us a 5-star review. Make sure you check out, obviously, Simon's pod as well. He does with the fantastic Mr. Jay McIntosh. And we will see you guys very, very soon. Take care.